Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. According to St. Luke. Let us attend. The Lord said this parable. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The certain man in this morning's parable, I think, would be God the Father. The Great Supper is the banquet of Christ and his bride, the Church. The Great Supper takes place in the kingdom of heaven. It is the reality of the Church's holy mysteries. The kingdom of heaven is within you, says the Lord. The Great Supper, then, is the heavenly mystery that was hidden from the ages, but is now revealed in the coming of Christ. And that mystery, as St. Paul says, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of the Great Supper, then, is found in the inner chamber of our heart, our true self that goes, that is deep beyond all things. As St. Isaac of Syria says, "Enter into the inner chamber that is within you, and you will see the inner chamber of heaven. For these are one and the same, and with one entry you will behold them both." That this great supper of the heavenly kingdom takes place in the inner hall of the heart, St. Isaac would tell us, means that the food offered to the guests of the Lord's Great Supper is the love of Christ. "The man who has found love," says St. Isaac, "eats and drinks Christ every day and hour, and hereby is made immortal." When we hear the Lord say, "You shall eat and drink at the table of my kingdom," what shall we eat if not love? Love is sufficient to nourish a man instead of food and drink. "This is the wine that makes glad the heart of man," as the psalmist says. Blessed is he who partakes of that wine. This love that St. Isaac speaks of is the love that God is. And so it is love that never ends. Whoever eats and drinks this food and wine of the Great Supper, then, lives in God and will never die, because God lives in him. Now it says that the Lord who made this Great Supper, I'm thinking that maybe we should stick with the Greek, I think in our English translation this morning it said a man gave a supper, but the Greek says a man made this supper. And the reason I want to stick with that is because that word leads us to associate the Great Supper with the creation of the world and with the new creation of the Lord's Holy Pascha. So it says that the Lord who made this Great Supper called many. The servant sent by the certain man, the Father, is the suffering servant of God who we hear of in the holy prophets. And that suffering servant is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent into the world by his Father to call sinners to repentance, to call us to set our affection on the things that are above and not on the things of the earth, which means then to calling us to turn around and to set the face of our soul toward the Great Supper taking place in the inner chamber of our heart. This word of the Father's call is the very Lord Jesus Christ himself who became flesh and dwelt among us. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, comes to us in the words of his holy church, which is his body. In the words of the church's teaching and preaching. The words of the church, then, are not of man. And that church, which calls itself church, whose words were dreamed up by some liturgical or theological committee, is not the church that is the body of Christ. The church that is the body of Christ speaks the word that is not of man, but the word that is from God the Father. This word from God the Father was given by Christ to his holy apostles, and the holy apostles gave them to the bishops, and the bishops give them to us. Those words were given to the church. They were given to the holy apostles and the bishops throughout the centuries. They have been given to us in the Holy Spirit. And they're given to us in the form of the dogmatic teaching of the church, the creed, the definitions of faith, the writings of the Holy Fathers. The dogmatic words of the church therefore carry Christ, so that when we receive them in faith, we are not receiving the word of man, we are receiving the word of God, we are receiving even Christ himself in his Holy Spirit. And in the joy that touches the soul, who receives the words of the church and sets her face toward their source, Christ, the Word of God, there is given a taste already of the beauty and the joy of the Lord's Great Supper. But who are we that God should be mindful of us, or that the Son of God should care for us? We are but dust. Our days are like grass. We flourish, but we flourish like the flower of the field that is gone when the wind passes over it. Our years come to an end like a sigh. Even if we live to old age, the span of our years is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. What can we possibly offer to the Lord for all his bounty to us? The Lord raised us up from the dust of the ground and fashioned us in his own image, so that when he would appear, we could be like him, for we would see him as he is. His will for us from the beginning was to make us partakers of his own divine nature, to clothe us in the radiant glory of his Holy Spirit. He is the tree of life, St. Anthony the Great tells us. And so in his command to us at the beginning, he was giving himself to us as our food and drink, so that it would be Christ who lives in us, and we in Christ, in the love of God that abides forever. How profoundly worthy of condemnation, then, are we in the ingratitude of our self-love? in which we have turned each one to our own way. By our own choice, we have fallen into the pit of death, and we stink from our sins and trespasses. And yet we dare to stand before the Lord as though we are entitled to his mercy. Even so, the Lord has no pleasure in our death. His will for us is that we should turn back from our evil ways and live. And so he sends forth his word from heaven to become flesh of the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Virgin, so that he might taste death and be like us in all things. What shall we offer to the Lord for all of his bounty to us? This word of the Father's call, then, is calling us to the Great Supper, is not coming from outside of us, is coming from the kingdom of heaven that is within us. We experience it as coming from outside of us because we live outside of ourselves. We think we're touching our heart when we experience strong feeling about something, but this is not the heart. For the heart is deep beyond all things, as the prophet says. That strong feeling is but the feeling part of the soul. It is not the heart. The call of the Father comes to us in the dogmatic words of the Church, as I said. The embodiment of the Word of God that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That Word of the Church penetrates to the division of joints and marrow, even to the division of our soul and spirit, to discern the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And if we would receive these words of the Church, they would lead us all the way into the tomb of our heart, where in the fear of death we cower before the prince of the power of the air, the dark spirit of hell that works in us and makes us children of wrath, separated from God and without hope. That means that the call of God that we receive out here where we live in our earthly bodies is really coming from the tomb of our heart within that is deep beyond all things. And in calling us to the things above, these words of the Word of God are calling us down into the tomb of our heart where we are dead. But this is where the gospel, how would you say, really begins to hit, to punch. Because this is precisely where Christ was buried spiritually when his body was laid physically in the tomb. And that's where the resurrection and the life of Christ now fills all things. We can't see this mystery of Christ's death and resurrection taking place in the tomb of our heart. We can't see it. Not because the Lord doesn't want us to see it, but because we are blind by our idolatry and our disobedience. And so we can't see it. Our epistle readings this morning set before us how we find and set out on this spiritual path that would lead us into the inner chamber of our heart where Christ is filling all things. Listen to St. Paul. He says, "Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication." Beloved, faithful fornication is sex outside of marriage. And there's a lot of that going on this day, isn't there? And sadly, even Orthodox young people are engaging in it. You need to know. This is fornication. And you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Put to death fornication, sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. Who is the new man? It's Christ, with whom you were clothed in your baptism. And this new man with whom you were clothed, in him we are being renewed in knowledge, not in guesswork, not in speculation, but in knowledge, because we are experiencing the Lord directly in our heart, in faith. We are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created us. St. Paul Keel goes on, walk in the Spirit, he says. Do not become conceited. Do not provoke one another. Do not envy one another. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, faith is the heart, the face of the heart, turned towards God. And you can do it yourself. It's a little experiment. See if ever you walk towards a destination that your face is not facing. Wherever your face is facing, that's the direction you're going to walk. And so when St. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, he means turn the face of your heart towards God. That's faith. And in faith, walk towards Christ in the Spirit. That's work, guys. It doesn't just happen. We have to want to do it. And it takes hard work. Because if we are turning the heart away from the affection, its affections on the things on the earth, towards the things on the in heaven, are we not denying ourselves? And to deny ourselves is perhaps the hardest thing to do. These instructions from St. Paul then would turn the face of our heart. In other words, our affection on seeking the things that are above. Seeking, in other words, Christ as our life and not the pleasures of the earth. Seeking Christ as our love. In this, when we are presented with the desires and impulses of our earthly members, it means we don't give in to them. We fight them. We resist them. We don't give in to them. And there's pain in that. There's pain, inner agony, when you don't give in to the desires of your earthly members. We turn the face, or we turn the affection of our heart steadfastly away from those earthly desires. And we set it on Christ, so that in our daily life, we enslave ourselves. We are no more enslaved by the fear of death, which in most of us is unconscious. And so it drives us like witless sheep to lay hold of the things on earth that keep us enslaved to death, because we're trying to escape the fear of death by being diverted into some pleasure of the earth. But just look at what that diversion gives you. Are you joyful? No. You're full of anxiety. You're full of fear. You're confused. You're angry. You're resentful. That's what your affection on the things of the earth give to us. But if we turn the affection of our heart toward God and enslave ourselves to the fear of God, we discover it as a blessed fear. Because it is a fear that leads us to the great supper of the Lord's banquet, where we eat and drink the love of Christ our God. A love and a joy that we taste even now in the Church's Holy Eucharist. And even in our daily life, in the midst of its trials and troubles, and our face is turned towards the Lord, there's a certain peace, a certain joy that fills the heart even in the midst of all our trials and tribulations. And that's what God gives to us. In the hope of that joy, we turn and we set the face of our affection on Christ above and make our way on the path of this life to the great supper of the Spirit and his bride. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.